All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Freedom Cast Podcast. We're on the line with Christy Snay. Welcome, Christy. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's been a long time coming, I feel like.
Absolutely. I just wanted to let you give a brief background and some of your accolades, just so people can get introduced, but I'll do a little bit of one myself. Christy is a powerlifter and currently a strong man or strong woman in this case, and has collabed with some of the biggest names in sports and fitness, and has records and all sorts of stuff under her belt. If you don't know who she is, her username is Krispy Kremes on pretty much every social media platform, and she is hella strong. So Christy, welcome. Go ahead and give a little bit of background and tell folks who you are.
All right. So I'm Christy Snay, and I'm currently a competitive strong woman. And previously I was a competitive powerlifter. But what I do now is I have a coaching business where I coach primarily strength athletes that are into powerlifting and strongman. So I've competed in, I have an elite total in powerlifting, and I compete at the amateur world level with strongman. So hopefully next year I'll be competing again, but I'm taking the rest of the year off since I competed in the Arnold in March. I'm just really busy with, obviously training myself, but my business is in coaching. My coaching business is called Unchained Strength, where I have a team. I have one-on-one clients. And then I also co-own a brand called Look Strong Naked, which me and my boyfriend, Gary, have a power building team style programming and power building program. So that keeps me really busy. Like you said, like I love to collab and just try out new things. I just love lifting and fitness and traveling, having seminars, going to expos, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of being local, I just saw the collab you did maybe about a month or two ago with Juju, which looked like a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It wasn't a month or two. It might've been last year. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was a blast.
Yeah. So that was fun because it was a couple of years last year. I went to Miami to watch a powerlifting meet and Juju was there. And I just was like, he recognized me. And of course I was like, oh my God, he knows who I am. But then I was like, I acted like we're already friends. Like, hey, yeah, totally. And, I was talking to him and his wife and, I just said, hey, I live in South Carolina now because previously I lived all over the place, but most recently in LA. And so mm-hmm. That's super far, obviously. But I'm like, don't you live like kind of close? I just said, just so you know, like me and my boyfriend live in South Carolina now and only a few, hours away. So if you ever like hang out or collaborate, we can, which I got super lucky when he DM'd me because he's not that far. And like his gym was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. So.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And obviously it's like fun to hang out with him. He's a really nice guy.
He's one of the nicest guys. Him and his wife. Mm-hmm. We actually know some of the folks that he's friends with as well. We're up in Hickory and it couldn't be a nicer personality. Yeah. So
cool.
What, just out of curiosity, leading up to getting into strongman. So what was the impetus for even getting into powerlifting in the first place? Like lift heavy stuff looks cool or is there something more to that?
Yeah. So I have a pretty similar story, I think, to a lot of my clients who got into powerlifting. So I got into fitness just to like lose weight, look good. Mm-hmm. And because before that, I just was like at my desk doing graphic design. I was a graphic design major and I had a marketing job and I just felt like stuck and like really tired and just like, I didn't like my body. I wasn't very physical. And so I started lifting weights and I fell in love with it, but it was more of like high intensity training or like circuit style training. It's still and like a lot of bodybuilding movements, but it was really fun. But I became like super obsessed with my body weight, and my body image. And so, I actually saw a couple of friends compete in powerlifting when I saw them like, like screaming at the bar and being all acting all crazy. I thought it looked cool. And I was like, I bet I could do that. So I trained for like 4 months and I did a powerlifting meet and I loved it. So I totally changed my style of training then. And so that's kind of how it got me into powerlifting. So I, was addicted at least strength training ever since. And, I've just learned a lot about it, since then.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was in 2014. And then in 2000, 19. In very early in January, it was like my last powerlifting meet. It was the LA Fit Expo. And I was just super burnt out. And so my friend introduced me to these like women who own a CrossFit gym who also do strongman. And I started training with them and just for fun, trained for my first contest for a couple months. Again, like I trained for something a couple months, but you know, I didn't like, it's not like I like killed it. Like I got third place, which qualified me for a different show, which wow. qualified me for nationals, which qualified me for the Arnold. So oh that all gosh. Happened in a year. But it's all because of my base of strength in powerlifting. But I still have so much to grow in strongman because I didn't have the athleticism, but I did have the brute strength. So
I was about to say, you must have had some sort of athleticism to qualify for ultimately the Arnold. My gosh.
Yeah, I think also the events really lined up for me. I mean, a big weakness of mine was like the overhead, like a lot of powerlifters. I don't know what style of your training you do, but if you're like always benching, like it's hard to even put your arms over your head. So, you know, I still feel like I'm learning a lot about it. So, but yeah, I felt like I was like, how did I get here? but yeah, that was really fun.
I tried to get some tips from Robert Oberst when I was there in Texas. And he was basically just like overhead press more. And I was like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so much. So now I prioritize overhead pressing over benching. I'll do like, I barely bench press. I'll do a lot of like close grip board press, or I'll do an incline bench, but my bench really hasn't gone down much because of the strongman. I was able to like max out the same weight that I did when I was like powerlifting. And so I've kept the strength, and I really do think overhead strength, you know, at least on a powerlifter's off season, they should be doing it.
Yeah, so. For sure. It does help. It does have translations back to bench press too, from what I'm told. So it has a little bit of crossover, which is nice. Do you find that you mentioned burnout with powerlifting, and I've interviewed a couple of folks now who are in that scene who are actually now many, many years in going through that same experience of just like, I've had enough. I'm going to transition to something else, or maybe I'm just going to take a break for a while. Is that a common experience amongst powerlifters in your experience?
I totally think so. I think there's a couple things. I think that, you know, beginners will feel that way after a while, or like prepping for their first meet because they put so much pressure on themselves. Because they're like, oh my God, you know, they're overwhelmed. And I also think with people who have been doing it for a long time, they do need a new challenge. Also powerlifting doesn't really have as much, like, I guess you could say like recognition or fame. So if you're the best, you know, like if you're a great powerlifter, really the general public don't really care. Or the fitness world in general, they might know the famous bodybuilders more. I'm not saying like, oh, people are burnt out because they're not getting famous off it. Yeah. They're not getting recognition and they're putting all that work in. So I've seen a lot of people maybe get burnt out. And then they're also thinking, oh, well, like I could go into bodybuilding, which is becoming more common, which I think is really cool, that people are like, can actually change that mindset. Because when I changed from strongman to powerlifting, from powerlifting to strongman, I was like super scared, which is funny now because I think about like, no one really cares that much. Like, really, does anyone get like mad at me that I switched a stupid sport, you know, like a sport, like, and they're still in the same like world. So, but you know, I train mostly powerlifting clients, so I didn't want them to think I was like leaving this world. Cause, I mean, squat, bench, and deadlift is so simple. There's so much focus on those exercises and it gets boring. It's not to knock the sport because it's a great sport and it's kind of cool that it's so specific. It's really measurable, you know, your body weight and how much you're lifting, super measurable. You can measure progress really well, but like, holy crap. Like you could spend like by the time you get like, you know, you're starting to kind of cap your natural strength. You're like, oh, I can just like, I tried so hard and I got a 5 pound PR. Like, you know, it gets kind of just just kind of repetitive too. So that's how I felt after the LA Fit Expo. I was like, I don't enjoy this as much anymore. And the reason I liked powerlifting or like was so into it is because I enjoyed it. I'm not saying you have to enjoy everything you do, but, you know, I want a new challenge. And with Strongman, I was like, in my head, you know, everyone's like this when they first start powerlifting too, like, oh my God, what if I'm like just so naturally good at it? You know, like maybe that's my sport. And then like, I tried it. I wasn't, I know I did make it to the Arnold, but it's only because I was like super strong at the time. You know, I'm not even as strong as I was now. But I was like very strong. So I could pick up the heavy farmers and, or pick up the yoke, although I wasn't moving that fast with it. It still was enough, you know? So
do you see, well, and with strongman, I would assume in terms of variety, I mean, every contest is different, which lends itself to some real fun times, you know, depending on which competition you're going to.
Yeah, I love it. And that's what I like about it. It takes a little more strategy, you know, your strengths and your weaknesses. And also just not being a baby. Because I remember when I was a powerlifter, if like someone had the barbell I liked, oh my God, was the end of the world. Yep. And now it's like, oh, at contests I've had like, oh, hey guys, do you want to just, they would come over and ask me, do you guys want to bump up the weight for this yoke press we're doing? Like, do you guys want to, like, why are you bringing it up to us and asking us? Like, I've been training for reps, not strength. You know what I'm saying? Like, or, oh, we don't have the 200 pound stone. So I guess you guys are doing 240. I'm making this up, but you know what I'm saying? Which is like a lot, right? So it's like, well, cool, I can't do that or something. So, or I don't know, it's made me less of a baby. And I'm not saying powerlifters are babies. But also I was a baby when I was a powerlifter for sure. Like, so I was, and I think, you'd be like, oh, I need the kilo plates. So I need,
right.
For me, I'm just like, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah. If the sun is shining and it's bright out, compared to if it's raining and you don't feel that great.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think strongman's toughened me up, but anyway, if we're talking about burnout, but I just think people get burnt out because it's so specific. You put so much pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes you just have to try something new.
Yeah. I like it. What differences do you see too between those two different communities, like the powerlifting community and the strongman community? You already mentioned a little bit in terms of just one might be a little bit tougher than the other, but anything that you really enjoy about strongman community versus powerlifting?
That's hard to say because I feel like they're very similar. Every time you go to a powerlifting meet, everyone's helping each other out. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes in strongman, people help each other out even more.
Yeah.
But they both are the same type of positive community, in my opinion, where like, for example, the Rogue Invitational, I know this is like at a pro level, but you know, you'll see the guys do the, they're doing like the, where they were like pulling the sandbags up the tower, and you know, a guy would do it and be like, oh my God, that was so hard. And then would go over to the next guy and be like, yeah, I really, you know, you could tell they're like, yeah, the chalk didn't work. And, you know, giving them tips, right? Like their competitor, like, oh, that was really hard. You should try this, you know, like, and so that's what I like about it. Everyone's generally really friendly, obviously, in like these like niche sports, there can be a lot of drama. I feel like I saw that even, how do I see the strongman? Yeah, I see it everywhere, but
yeah,
it, I don't know. I feel like the communities are similar.
Yeah.
I mean, there can be everyone's, there's good sportsmanship. And sometimes there's clickiness, you know, in both, both, but I like, both communities for sure. And like, I find myself really relating to those type of people. Mm. And when I try to make friends in the, you know, real world, like I don't make as close of connections or don't have as much fun with them. Cause I think that both these communities are pretty just like crazy. You meet like really interesting people. And then I'm like, everyone else is boring, but not really. I mean, there's other people, like if there's like a professional skydiver, like those are kind of, that's, you know, interesting. Or like people like to adventure. I don't know.
It's more fun to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned bodybuilding earlier. Have you ever considered the bodybuilding field?
Sometimes I do. The thing about bodybuilding, so like I have a crazy amount of respect to it for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just say that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, oh, I could do that and you know, win and be crazy, but I love competing in strongman and powerlifting because of that feeling of adrenaline of like you were going about to attack and like you're gonna go like run up that sandbag or pick it up and, you know, just like go crazy. And I love that. And here's the thing, I've never done bodybuilding before, but I feel like that day would just be kind of miserable and like hard and the competition would be fun. But that being said, I would love to see what I look like it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But only like once, because, but you don't get good at something for just competing once. So if I were to do it, I'd do it. So I want would try to look fabulous. I want to see myself, but I don't think I'd want to keep going and doing enough where I could get good. I think it'd be really hard to be judged like that. You know, how can you play, you know, how are they saying this person's better than this person, this person? So it's not really up my alley, but also I've said I wouldn't do a lot of things. So I think eventually I will, especially right now. I've been like battling a back injury since 2016 for L5 S1 herniations.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It's been, it was so bad in 2020 when I did the Arnold leading up to it. It was so bad. The last Arnold, like I couldn't, like the after, before day two, I couldn't get out of bed. Like I woke up to pee in the middle of the night and I couldn't roll over.
Oh.
And I thought I was going to have to quit. And Gary was, my boyfriend was just like, just try to stand up. Let's like work on standing up. And eventually I made the contest. So I was able to finish, but it wasn't pretty.
Wow.
But so I've been trying to figure out that since March. So more than anything, I'm putting all my eggs in the basket of competing next year, you know, and trying to get myself good enough, whether that means I might have to do like, I mean, I pretty much have done literally everything you could ever imagine to do that, but it might mean, you know, injections or something like that, just to get me good for that next year. And then maybe, you know, expanding my, what I do. I just think it would be a challenge for me for sure.
Was that your back giving out when you were stepping off of the Conan's wheel in your most recent video?
Oh, no.
No,
no,
okay.
That was just fatigue. Yeah, that was just Instagram drama, you know, like, but well, I mean, like not at the time, but at the time for the Conan's wheel, that was my favorite contest ever. So that was War at the Shore in San Diego and the implements and stuff like that. So it was at the San Diego County Fair, but it was in the big arena that they are having like a beer festival. So everything was like keg and beer related.
Nice.
So they made like all the everything like loaded with kegs or look really cool. And there's a big crowd, you know, they're just like drunk people are like, I don't even know what this is, but I'll watch it. So it was really fun. So Conan's wheel, we did it for max distance. And by the end, you're just like, you know, it's so heavy and you can't breathe. So you're kind of just like, what's going on? But no, my back was pretty good that contest. There was no deadlift implements or anything like that. So
wow.
Yeah, that was a good contest for me.
Yeah. I'm surprised you're still competing with that. Most people would have quit like in 2017 when you got that.
Well, this thing is when you want something so bad, like you kind of ignore it or push through it and it becomes normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know a lot of people who have gone through even more serious injuries like that. Mine's just kind of ongoing and just like frustrating rather than like, oh, I tore something and I can recover it and then rehab it, you know, like that. But yeah.
Is it I'm just curious how I'll come off of this, but is the herniation something that can be like permanently surgically repaired, or is it just something like you said that you just literally just have to deal with?
I believe so, but like it doesn't mean that. So a lot of people's herniated discs, so they're, you know, you can see like everything on Instagram, you know, like, so there's a lot of physical therapists who say like, or people who are online physical therapists or whatever, they're like, it doesn't matter if you're a hernia disc, you might have a hernia disc, not even know, you might have extreme back pain and not have a hernia disc. So I'm like, okay, well, I know with me, like I have this. I do have all this pain and stuff. I have that hernia disc. Hey, Gary. I have that hernia disc. And so with hernia disc, you know, part of that disc is coming out and like pushing against nerves.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's where I get the pain. But not only pain, but like loss of power in that side too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard. If I deadlift, I'll just feel like my left side really not working. So I would love to, I mean, I wish every place I've gone to, like, haven't been like, oh, here's a surgical, you know, like, let's do surgery right now. You know, yeah. It's more of like, here's some NSAIDs, you know, it's anti-inflammatories. I guess just keep lifting. I don't know. Here you go. So I'm still exploring those options, really. But I mean, anything like an injection that's temporary, yeah. You know, all those things. So I've been doing, so like, you know, with the surgery, it could fix it. It could not.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few different types of surgeries. You know, they could do a fusion, which wouldn't be great because, you know, there's less, you can have, can't move as well. There's a microdiscectomy, I think it's called. And they cut out like this piece of the disc. That or not piece of the disc, like whatever's protruding out,
right?
And
right.
But it's a really easy surgery, you know. Oh. But it's like, do I want to pay all that? Probably not. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. It's hard to get into these doctors as well. But I've done so much chiropractic, so much massage, so much mobility, physical therapy, electrostim, where they put needles in you and they electrocute your stuff.
Yeah.
I've done everything. I've redone my training.
Yeah.
Literally tried everything but like stem cells. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe, I know Joe Rogan is a huge fan of that. So I always wonder about like how effective it is, but people swear by it. So I have no idea.
Exactly. I just don't think it would. I think there would be useful. I just don't think in this case it would be, you know,
right.
Worth it. But.
Interesting. I'm really curious about, the more I talk to folks like yourself about, just going back to strongman, it seems to be the thing that everybody now gravitates to, particularly if they're coming from a powerlifting background. Do you see a wave coming with that where it's just going to take off in the next, I don't know, 5 years? Because I'm seeing you, like Obershaw, Alexei Novikov, like all these huge personalities getting televised and getting massive attention on social media. I feel like the sport's just set to blow up if it's not already. What's your take on that?
I hope it does, for sure. I think it's funny that you put me in that category with them, but right now it seems like what's taking off more are those big personalities like, you know, Shaw, Thor, Eddie Hall, who mm-hmm. actually are able to put their stuff on YouTube and are good at that, right? Mm-hmm. Or and doing it themselves. But they've also, there's also you know, the show on the History Channel with Nick Best and yep. all of them too, which is really interesting. So I'm hoping so. The one thing is with I think is a good sign is CrossFit having more strongman implements in it, like yoke, sandbags, and most recently log at the Rogue Invitational.
No way.
Now, I've gotten a ton of powerlifting clients from CrossFit because the CrossFitters say, I like the max strength. I want to do powerlifting. And, you know, CrossFit is way bigger of a sport, more money in it than, you know, so we get the kind of the trickle down. Now, I think there'll be more interest with the strong, like into strongman stuff. So that's good. So I'm hoping so. But also, if you think about it, if you ask someone on the street, oh, do you know who, you know, like Eddie Hall is? Like, mm-hmm. yeah. But like, if you go and ask them who the strongest woman in the world is, they're right. not going to know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if strong women will become a more popular thing or sport, but it seems like nowadays you do have to put a personality behind that to get people to care.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm with you on that. Speaking of waves, I'm curious if this whole fitness journey for you has been like, I know for some people it's a grind getting big, it's a grind, like, you know, blowing up and staying consistent, or if there was, you know, a singular moment for you where you kind of rocketed to the top in terms of your popularity. Has it just been this consistent growth trajectory, or was there a moment where it just absolutely took off for you?
So yeah, for sure. There was definitely moments where it took off. So I feel like, and then right now it's almost like what I feel, I don't know if it's the algorithm making me feel this way, but feel like it's going down, or like at least just saying like it went down and now it's like steady, right? So yeah. I think one thing, so basically when I was in Chicago, I was personal training in powerlifting. And that's when I really utilized, when Instagram stories came out, I would highlight a lot of my clients. So most of my content was personal training based. Mm-hmm. And I started posting more, and it was a really good time to start doing that because people were seeing a lot of growth, and I saw a lot of growth. And I had about 30K followers, and then I moved to LA. And then I think just like being in that area just made everything explode really fast. And so I gained a lot, like 150,000 followers within like a couple of years.
Wow.
Which was a lot. And it's so funny to think about now, because you're like, oh, it's not really a big deal. But also it seemed a lot of pressure. Like everyone's watching me, you know, now, like I said before about who cares if I switch sports, right? But thinking of that pressure, you know, feeling like they want more of this from me, and spending a lot of time online. And during that time, I was mostly invested in competing and stuff like that. And now that I've been kind of, you know, battling injuries, I moved to South Carolina. You know, the algorithm, you know, haven't grown that much. And I'm just saying, like, popularity wise, like my business is doing great. My clients are doing great. Like mm-hmm. I'm doing great, but popularity wise on Instagram, although it seems to have, you know, leveled out, because guess what? There's new faces, new talent. There's a new strong person, you know, it on the block. So it's like, and so that's just how it is. You know, you have to be prepared for not always having that like praise and congratulation and love, like as much as you were. And then I think what's happened too has been able to make me focus more on the present and my business. And so I've seen a lot of growth there too. Sorry, my dogs are crazy.
That's okay.
We have four. And two are chihuahuas, so they're like,
oh man.
Yeah. So yeah, I know you didn't ask for advice for people, but it's also like to the people who are strong and super popular now and stuff like that, don't put all your worth into that as well. Mm. Because it really does suck. I mean, it definitely not, I think mine was a slow kind of realization, so it wasn't as bad, but man, like if you get injured and you're out forever and you're like, oh, I was only valuable because like people thought I was a cool power lifter, then, you know, or like I was super strong, or like I, you know, define yourself as strong. It's like, you're going to have a really bad time.
Yeah.
Because it always ends, you know. I mean, there's been, you know, obviously there's people that like can stay on top forever. Like Nick Best is still competing. And he's awesome. And he's also, you know, super famous and fabulous. And so he's still, you know, but we're all not all like that, right? Like, and he also has a family. He's very down to earth and stuff like that too. But, you know, you can't get like greedy. You can't be like, oh, I want to be like famous now, or I want to be loved for this or that. It's, if you get, you know, blessed to get Instagram followers or people viewing your stuff, that's great, but also you don't always need that to have a successful business or happy clients or stuff like that. Like I could, even though my engagement is down, I'm like, hey, as long as, you know, there's this many people that are liking it and it's valuable to them, then it's like, that's all I need. I'm still, you know, so my business is still growing, although the popularity isn't as much. So,
yeah. Well, and you're still impacting people's lives. I think people have to realize like everybody started from zero, and that can just as easily be taken away from you as continuing to grow. So people wrapping themselves up in good or bad comments from people about their popularity is secondary to the goal, which is what you're doing, making people
right,
stronger.
Right. And no one's saying that to me. It's my own brain, you know, being like,
oh, gotcha. Well,
right. No one's like, oh, you're not popular anymore. Like, it's not like Mean Girls. I'm just analyzing my own, you know, life. Cause you're talking about like the growth and all that stuff, where I see my go. And now I'm just like, yeah, like, I think that the following really afforded me to, you know, get a couple sponsors, get, meet cool people and stuff like that. But I don't need more. And I think before I thought I needed more. Right. Yep. Now I'm just like, whatever. I think I just got lucky, time and place.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious. You mentioned, I was listening to a podcast with you, maybe I remember when you did this, maybe a year or two ago. I think it was during the pandemic, and you were talking about mental health and confidence and different things that you had gone through in the past. And I'm just curious, what has lifting done for your confidence? Talk to me about, you know, what whether it's powerlifting or strongman, and what was it specifically about lifting that gave you a boost there?
Right. I mean, coming from someone who like never was good at sports or, you know, did much with their body, it kind of opened up a whole new world and appreciation for my body, which is something I really needed back when I actually started lifting weights. Mm-hmm. If you work hard, you put in this work, you can get this, you know, anything you put your work in, you know, you'll be more proud of. And it just, I feel like made you feel more in control and a little bit safer and just more, just like, you know, being strong, you know, like you could take care of yourself. So it kind of teaches you a little bit more independence, accountability. And I don't know, it just like slowly grows too. You start, you know, although maybe you've transferred your body insecurities into, now I put all my self-worth into the sport, it's still a step. You know, and then from there you can kind of grow even more, but it's kind of hard to explain, like the feeling a little bit just more safe or secure, almost like you can do yourself. Maybe it has something to do with being a woman, you know, of defending yourself or something. So it comes from that, but also it's funny because I don't think about it as much right now, but back then it was like just always feeling like you're being judged for your body. Or and stuff like that. It's kind of like taking that back. Like, I'm going to do something with my body. Like, I'm going to put the work in. I'm going to build myself how I want to be. So that was cool. Also competing. I mean, that took for me a lot of courage at first, because it was like, it was almost like, you know, you get like stage fright before a dance recital. It was like that, like times 1,000 before I competed a few times. So overcoming that, you know, every time you overcome something, you kind of get more confident too. So
yeah.
I think that was a big deal too. It was something that forced me to, you know, woke up in the morning and I was like, oh shit, I gotta do this. But then you do it and then your confidence grows.
I like it. Is that some of the impetus for the Look Strong Naked programming that you got together? Like to help.
So with that, that kind of came about because, you know, basically I had a lot of coaches, and like, this is not their problem, but like they didn't prioritize doing a lot of accessories, like bodybuilding accessories, which I think, you know, is what a lot of people are missing, especially, you know, if they're one, they're like, I want to look like I lift.
Yes.
Two, I just started lifting. I'm like lifting all these heavy weights, but I never did a hypertrophy cycle, you know, stuff that people need to do. Now, when I moved to South Carolina and with my boyfriend, we kind of developed our own routine, our own training style. I kind of adopted some of what Gary was doing, and we obviously were still doing strongman. And so we're like, let's come out with a program, you know, just like one, like for fun, you know? But what do we call it? Well, instead of Look Good Naked, which is like all over magazines about diet teas and all that stuff, you can kind of reclaim that and say Look Strong Naked, you know, because if you want to be strong and look strong, like, you know, a lot of people put on the work, well, why don't I look a certain way? It's like, well, you're not, that this is a bad programming for powerlifting, but okay, you're squat, bench, deadlifting 3 times a week and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not bad. You probably will become a good powerlifter to an extent, but also that you need to actually build some muscle. And you said you want to look like you lift and you're frustrated. So here you go. Like, this is, if you do this work, you know, you will gain some muscle and strength. So, I mean, obviously it's like more of a power building style. So I think that the confidence allowed me to say that, like, you know, I mean, it's not like I'm on the cover of Shape magazine. I'm like, look like me. But since I'm more proud of my body now, I can say, do you want to look like, I think I look like I lift. Do you want to look like you lift? You know, so, and it wasn't like, it's supposed to be just kind of a play on the Look Good Naked.
Yeah.
But, you know, Look Strong Naked.
I do think that's an issue though with powerlifters, because you've got a lot of like, yeah, even like deadlift specialists that are built like absolute ramrods. I'm one of them, and they may be strong as hell, but you could not tell.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's not okay,
sure.
But if you want to look like you lift,
yeah,
then you deserve to have the tools of the program to do that. And you can also be strong. So there's so many ways to lift, right? Like there's so many ways to, you know, but if your goal is to, you know, you want to prioritize both strength and both aesthetics, and that's for you. If you want to be the best deadlifter in the world, you know, you might have to have a more specialized program or coaching, but it's never going to hurt to have more muscle. That's never going to hurt.
Yep. Yep.
You know, or at least some time of the year, try to build muscle, you know, like then you can do all your meets and stuff, but at some point in the year, give your body a break, try to build the muscle. That's what moves the weight.
Yep. Yep. The muscle does help with, it does. I was talking to a gentleman who's broken multiple state and national records, who was talking about before he even started powerlifting, he had this insane hypertrophy base that in this crazy broad back and everything that helped him to break all these records in powerlifting, but it's only because he had that base that he was able to do all of that other stuff. Speaking of, I'm going to transition to some fun stuff and then come back to some of the stuff we were talking about early on with the gym, because I am curious, but I want to get the origin of your username, Krispy Kreme. Okay. So I don't know if I've heard, so tell people where that came from.
Well, yeah, that's the thing too. It's so funny. Well, it's not even, there's no story behind it.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately. So, well, I guess there's a tiny story about it. Okay. So I had that name probably in the beginning of my, like I used to have a different username, but I changed it to that just for fun. This was a long time ago before I had a lot of followers, just my friends following me, probably before videos were on Instagram. But I had a friend who was also my tattoo artist, and I think he called me, Crisp. And that, I don't know why. And so then I just thought Krispy Kreme. I thought it was funny and it wasn't that big deal. And then, I still had that when my following initially grew. And so, you know, people are like Krispy Kreme, you know, they don't really know your real name, so they call you that. So I've thought about changing it. I've actually had some friends who had like said I should change it just so people could know my name in case I want to, you know, grow other places, but I haven't changed it yet. I mean, it's been years and years and years. So maybe soon, but, there's nothing about donuts even. I mean, I don't even like Krispy Kremes that much.
Oh, seriously. I was going to get in my next question.
I like cake donuts more. So like,
oh, man.
More than the Krispy Kreme type of donuts.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are your favorite flavors then?
I like chocolate with chocolate icing.
Ooh.
But honestly, I like bagels a lot.
Like, okay. So like now here's the question, like bagels up north or just bagels in general?
Oh, up north.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I found some here that were good, but.
Hard to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hard to replicate a good bagel.
Yeah.
So, but also like donuts. Like when I was in Chicago, like there's a Dunkin' Donuts on every corner and they were just like not good, you know, because there's just like so many, but there are a lot of good donut places in Chicago and bagel places. And Greenville does have a lot of good food, but like not good hot dogs, which I have like a problem with. and bagels. Well, you know, okay, there's a couple like specialized places where they're like, oh, we deliver ours from Jersey, you know, but so it's good, but
it's something about the water. They did I don't know if you know this, they did a controlled experiment. I don't know how in the world they made this happen, but they basically had a controlled environment where they made bagels, and they made them down south and they made them up north. And I think they had the exact same ingredients. And for whatever reason,
really?
Where they made them up north, totally different, tasted amazing.
Yeah, and I'm a snob about those things. Like if it's my favorite food, like I'm a snob about it. But yeah, Krispy Kremes. I mean, I would eat one for sure. But I mean,
not the same.
I don't know. Yeah.
Not the same. I get it. Do you like, are you talking about, so when you say bagel, do you mean just like plain bagel, blueberry bagel,
plain salt, everything?
Nice.
A bagel sandwich.
Oh, there you
bagel
go.
With cream cheese, bagel butter, any kind of bagel.
Gotcha. I like it. Actually, along the same lines, I am curious if you do cheat days very often, or okay, what's your favorite cheat meal then?
Ice cream.
Any particular flavor, variety, or brand?
So Jenny's ice cream, they're from Ohio,
but no way. Yeah,
they have them in, they probably have them in Charlotte. They have one in Greenville too.
Yeah,
and it's like my favorite. Like, and it's like $7 for like a scoop at the store, but it's worth it. But it's my favorite. So
do they have I know they're doing seasonal stuff right now, but anything in particular from there that I would know that you like?
Well, right now they have a cranberry one that's seasonal. That's really good. It's really tart. But yeah, normally I'll get brown butter almond brittle or brambleberry crisp, or the wedding cake, though seasonal, was really good. It had like lemon in it. Yeah, they're all good. But yeah, they're really good. I think because they have one in Chicago. Yeah, pretty much have had one every place I've lived. But the first time I think I had it was in Chicago, and we just got one in Greenville a couple months ago, or in the summer.
Yeah, they're phenomenal.
I'm sure you have them in Charlotte.
Yeah, there's a couple, and they are outrageously expensive, but they're worth it, honestly. Yeah, I really do.
They're so good.
One of the things I love about powerlifting and strongman is it seems like you can eat pretty much everything. I know there's a diet to stick to.
Sure. I mean, something, you know, I've been a little bit more strict the last couple of years, but not really. So we'll meal prep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll have, you know, my breakfast is pretty much the same every day. I have a meal prep, first lunch, meal prep, second lunch.
Yeah.
And then I lift. And then we always have cereal post lifting.
Oh,
and
no
a protein
way.
Shake. So it's like, you know, so we have those post carbs, and then at night I'll have like some Greek yogurt or something. So it's generally pretty clean, but because like you said, it's not bodybuilding, you have a little more, like, you don't need to have, you know, it's probably better if you don't have a 5% body fat. It's, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, obviously if there's a different goal of a certain weight class I want to be in, or if I'm, you know, trying to cut or something, that will change to be more strict. But that's why I like the sport too, is because you can have a little bit more freedom of like, oh, I can actually go out to eat with my family, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
But generally most of the time it's easier, and just like easier to manage doing the meal prep, having very clean foods, you know, saves money. So there's a lot of benefits around it, but there is at least like a little more flexibility of, you know, if you travel or something like that, that like you're not going to, like, you know, lose your show because you had a cheat meal.
Right. Right. On that same note, I'm curious. I mean, you mentioned like meal prepping and all that. How in the world do you stay so lean year round? Like, that's gotta be exhausting. Cause like, to be in the kind of shape that you're in, and I don't know, like, I feel like a lot of people just go through cycles, but for you, it seems to be completely effortless.
No, it's funny. It's like, that's the same thing as like, oh, that's so like, it's like, complimentary. Cause I don't think so at all. I do see difference between when I would be like super lean and never bodybuilding lean. It's never like, oh, now I look like I have all these muscles. Right.
Sure.
But, I definitely think I did get leaner within the last 2 years for sure. Like, mm-hmm. since I moved from California, and I've been maintaining that, you know, at least, you know, only 10 pounds of weight loss. But from there, you know, I think I just got pretty lean last year at Nationals because I was doing the 160 subclass. But other than that, like, it just, the level of leanness I have is very easy to maintain because it's not super lean. So I mean, it's not like, oh my God, how do you stay that lean all year round? It's pretty baseline.
Gotcha.
In my opinion. So,
well, and what weight class do you normally compete in?
So when I was doing powerlifting, I mostly competed in the 165 and 181 weight class.
Okay.
But I never was like close, like really an actual 181. I just like wouldn't want to cut for me, cutting like water weight is pretty hard for some reason. So I'll just be like a little bit heavier, 165. But in strongman, which is cool, is cool for me because of where my body weight is, but probably not for a lot of people because it's such a large one. But in between 140 and 180 pounds, so it's a very, very large. At least where I usually compete, the certain federation, it's a super large class. So like, which would suck because if you're 150 pounds, you're not going to cut some, or you're not going to want to lift with someone who weighs 190 and cuts to 180. But for me, you know, with my body weight, hovering around 170 pounds right now, it's like it's pretty easy and, you know, perfect. I can cut down pretty easily to a subclass of 160. So nice. For me, it's great. For, I think people are closer to lightweights, it's not so great because they have to cut so much, you know, even 10 pounds is probably a lot for them, but they do it.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, the gym, I want to go back to that. So, just for people who are on the podcast, where is the gym located?
The gyms that I train at are in Greenville. And so, one is more of a bodybuilding type gym, like more general fitness. And they also have like a barbell club there. It's called Brits Brothers.
Okay.
It's in Greenville. And then the other one where we house our strongman equipment is more of a powerlifting gym called TriFit Barbell.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. So do you own either of those or partial owner?
We don't own them. The TriFit Barbell was just nice enough to, they have a warehouse or like a garage in the back and they've kind of redone it. So it has turf and all that fun stuff, but most of the stuff belongs to my boyfriend, Gary. And it's just like a ton of strongman stuff that he's like accumulated. And I have a couple of things, but like just a ton of stuff that he's accumulated. And so we share that space with, like, they have one side for the powerlifters and one side for us.
Okay.
So yeah. And it's like sometimes we'll our friends will come and be training strongman too. So we let them use that equipment. But yeah, none of them, it's always, people always are like, oh, your gym. I'm like, I don't own a gym. We just have like, you know, our stuff. And before that, Gary's stuff was at a CrossFit gym. And so it's just kind of harder, I think, for strongman because people don't make money off of strongman. So, you know, there's not like hundreds of people who are like, I want to do strongman. So let me use your gym. So, you know, right now it really works where a gym is like, yeah, you can have your stuff here, even though it takes some space and only five people are using it.
Where it's nice and convenient.
Yeah.
Would you ever want to start a gym, or is that something you kind of like to?
So I wish I had a gym, but I don't want to manage it. I know a lot of people with gyms I have known a lot of people with gyms who have seemed really stressed out.
Yeah.
So it would have to be a gym where it was more like, hey, like you guys, we have like a key code access and it's like, you know, a certain amount of members that we know or something like that. Cause I don't want to like have to like manage or work a gym, especially at first, you know, when you can't really afford workers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that, but I would love to have one, but yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's why we go to two gyms right now, is because one has more machines and then, which we like to use.
Okay.
And then the other one has a space that you can do strongman.
Gotcha.
So it's really hard to find a place that has both, or like, you know, like your perfect machine or the machines you like, or machines that work.
Right. That they're not constantly broken. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. We've thought about, just cause we sell used equipment, it's like, what would it take to open a gym? But cause we could kind of pick and choose from the best of the best of whatever we get, but I've got the same issue as you do, which is, first of all, I would charge an exorbitant rate because I don't want just Joe Schmo walking in and breaking
everything.
And it would take up an insane amount of time away from what we're doing mainly, which is like focusing on your clients, you know?
Exactly. Your main source of income and a business you already takes a lot. So
yeah,
it would just have to depend, I guess.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to give me a gym, I wouldn't say no, but it just would be a lot. I mean,
yeah,
but maybe one day.
The Krispy Kreme
even a garage gym would be nice, just so I could have some stuff to make my demos. I do a lot of for my teams, for Team Unchained, and then what we'll do for Look Strong Naked is we'll make demonstration videos where we're actually talking about the movements, because we think it's really important to come from us. So even that, it's funny because you go to a gym and you realize, oh man, I wish this was set up differently. I wish it wasn't, there wasn't crap everywhere, or I wish, you know, there's different equipment or something like that. So I think that's one thing that I realized moving here too, is I was really lucky when I was living in California. There's so many powerlifting gyms. There was even strongman gyms. And then, you know, here it's just, you know, more up and coming, I guess. But there has been a couple good powerlifting gyms to open up, but they're more like barbell gyms, you know, or like CrossFit type spaces, where for me, that's not enough.
Yeah.
I like to train with machines. I feel you.
Do you guys have a gym or a gym? Do you guys have a garage at the at your current home?
Yeah, but that Gary's workshop's in there. So
yeah, that would get away.
Right.
I understand that. Awesome. So from a content perspective, what is just wrapping up, what is one thing you want people to take away from the content that you're putting out?
Just have fun while you lift. Or just do it too. I think also people, because I always come back to my memories of like being afraid to just go approach the squat rack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do it.
Yeah.
That's really, because I think my content's all over the place lately, because I'm, you know, promoting my own teams, I'm showing my own training, but you know, I'm not doing as much of the heavy wow lifts right now, so it's like but I definitely want them to literally just be like, oh, I want to go do that. I'm gonna go try that. That my favorite thing too is when I post something and people say, oh my god, I tried this, da, 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 da. You know, like maybe they didn't even apply it the right way, I don't even care, they, you know, it's a start. And they're curious, and I just want them to take mostly that, like, try something out.
Yeah. Somebody made a really good point. There's right about this time, everybody starts talking about like New Year's resolutions and everybody going back to the gym, and oh my gosh, it's going to be packed. And somebody made a really good point. I think it was, Joey Swole on TikTok, and he goes, if you're pissing all over people who are trying to get back into the gym January 1st, you need to get off this app, because that's the point. Like, that's literally the point. So, keeping people out is what kept them from going to the gym in the first place. I totally understand that. Where can people find you online if they want to get coaching or just look at some of your content?
Yeah. So you can follow me on crispy_creams on Instagram. I'm mostly there. And then from there, you'll be linked. You can get linked to my coaching business, which is Unchained Strength, and then Look Strong Naked, which is what I was telling you guys about, the power building teams and plans. We also post extra content there, like specific to, you know, Unchained Strength is more powerlifting, more power building tips on Look Strong Naked. So a lot of free education, fun ideas there. And then unchainedstrength.com is where you can inquire for coaching and learn a little bit more about what coaching services I offer.
Excellent. I'm thinking the Krispy Kreme gym for donuts and lifting would work.
There we go. And bagels.
Opening up a gym name. Awesome. Well, Christy, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.